Welcome to another edition of our podcast. Today, our topic, which I'm excited about, I'm really excited about my guest, but it's CX in 2026 because we're off to this new year, moving from the CRM messes to AI success. So I'm pleased to know that we have a great partner today, which is Chris. So Chris, you and I already had a session, so I'm not going to bore everybody. But when you think about Chris Smith, here's what I loved about him when I met him. He wrote a book. He's the author of CRM Shouldn't Suck. That sounds just like I would talk to, so I love it. Avoiding those CRM pitfalls using strategies for success. He spent his career, you know, with all the messy CRM. So we are, and that's so cool. Go get a copy of that book. It was so cool. But he is actually the founder of Impeller, which I'm excited about for a couple reasons. Because him and I talked for his two decades. We believe in the same things: people, processes, data, all the things we're excited about. So, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today. Today, we're just gonna have a conversation like we did last time. I have a few questions I wanted to ask you and just get some insights for our listeners.
Yeah, that's great. So question one. I'm excited to be here, Jim.
Yeah, good. So, can a company actually achieve? I hear this word predictive. A predictive 2026 CX vision if their data is siloed or messy. Let's talk about that one.
No, there's no way. It's not going to happen. You need to have a strong foundation, not just for AI, but just for your business. You know, it has to be built on a strong foundation of data. And unfortunately, we rarely see that. It's just, it's hard.
So
it's
how
complex.
Do you help
There's
companies-
a lot going on there.
Yeah. So how do you help those companies like identify that? Like, it's funny you say it because a lot of people will come to me and say, you know, yeah, we need AI. We need all this. But my data is a mess, but I need to get AI because my boss told me. What would you advise them to do first?
You know, the first thing I let them know, if your data is a mess, and I've had these conversations this week with companies, last week. I mean, it is such a key topic right now. Everybody wants to talk about it. And what I tell them, when you have bad data and you want to roll out AI, so your data is garbage, all AI is going to give you is garbage data faster. You know, it's just going to accelerate the pain that you're going to feel because your data is so poor. That very rarely when we engage with a client, we want to know what their strategic goals are. What are you trying to do over the next 3 years to move the needle for your business? I've never had a client in 20 years tell us, you know, in that list of strategic goals, we're going to address all the data issues in our business. We're going to have the best possible data foundation, however you want to phrase it. It's never happened. And I talk about that in my book. That's one of the pillars of a successful CRM and really any enterprise level platform. You have to have that incredibly strong foundation of data you can trust. And that's where you have to start. You have to address these data issues.
Yeah. It makes sense. I like to have one source of truth, which is the same as what you're saying, data you can trust. So everybody's talking about AI and, you know, it's changing the customer experience. You know, in your opinion, you know, where do you see we are today? And where do you think we're going to go by the end of 2026? So this is changing.
Yeah, we are in an era like we've never seen before. I've talked about this with many people, many experts in the field that are living this every day. And every one of them is telling me, Chris, I've never seen anything like this. The pace of change, like when you think back, like the last major impactful era was when everybody's moving to the cloud. You know, that took over a decade really for that to happen. this pace of AI is going to be a fraction of that. You know, and everybody I talk to, the consensus seems to be like, you have about a 3-year window to get this figured out in some form or fashion to where you're really leveraging this within your business. And so that means if you're not started already, you have to be started in 2026, you know, with what is your strategy on how you're going to leverage AI within your business. And the reality is your customers are already leveraging AI to become educated, to become better informed, to help them through their decision process. So we always, you know, we've talked about with the internet has helped a lot of people really become better educated. AI's taken that to a whole new level because it can do such a better job of than what Google used to be able to do for us. AI has taken that times 100, you know, the level of the factor of better information, how easy it is to get, how to compile it. AI can do it all for you and do it in minutes. And so, you know, you have to be able, you have to be prepared for that across your business. In every way that we're engaging with the customer, we have to be looking for opportunities. How can we make it easier for the customer to engage with us and buy from us and obtain our services? You have to, you know, that's where I would begin with is let's examine what are all our touch points? What are all the different ways customers engage with us? And how can we leverage AI to make it easier for them?
Yeah, I like that strategy because, you know, I think everybody here has probably experienced a bad bot or bad AI. I think we've all had it where you ask it a question and doesn't know the answer or gives you the wrong answer. So when you think about that, I wonder if people know, like, there actually is human intelligence behind the AI. People talk about machine learning. So, you know, how can you help our listeners? Like when you have these AI help agents, for an example, that's really what they are. You know, how do you help them understand better? Like what you're trying for that agent to, the AI agent to do?
Yeah. So let's talk about the help agents. You know, we engaged with I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we engaged with a very large MSP. We were basically helping them with, we did a digital transformation project. So we're going end to end through their business. So we were looking at customer service. And one of the first things we wanted to know is knowledge management. What are you guys doing to, do you have knowledge management and what are you doing? Because that's a strategic asset. When you're in a customer service business, your knowledge base is a strategic asset. The reality is they didn't have one. You know, they were relying on the vendor's knowledge bases rather than building their own. And, you know, that's a fundamental weakness, I think, that we see a lot is, you know, well, I can get the information here, I can get an image for there. But it's not centralized. It's not that single source of truth, you know? And so you're leaving it up to the engineer to figure out, okay, let me go here, let me go there and hope I can get what I'm looking for there in an efficient way. Well, with AI, now I can connect into all those sources and I can bring that all in to create that single access point to all those different sources. And so from an AI model, I can begin training my AI on all those different sources, as well as developing my own internal one, because you want to take whatever you're getting from the vendor and take it to the next level. And so you want to layer on top of that your own flavor, your own perspective on whatever that issue may be, using the leverage, the knowledge of your team. You know, because your team's taking that stuff, like if they're going, let's say, I've got a problem with a Cisco switch. I'm going to go out to Cisco's website and I'm going to research, figure out in their knowledge base what I need to do. But that takes time. If I can build up my own knowledge base, hey, if you're coming to this problem, here's the reference page you want to go to, whatever. It tells you exactly what you need to do. And you're training your AI against that. And now AI, you can ask the question. So it's just going to be faster, better, more efficient. And you're going to deliver a much better customer experience, because that's ultimately what we're after, is that outcome. So always begin with that outcome in mind and work backwards from there. What are the ways we can just give an incredible experience to our customers? Because strategically, if we're able to demonstrate that as part of our selling process, what incredible experience we're going to give you, it's going to help us in all aspects of the business. A lot of times it's an afterthought. It needs to be right. It needs to be right in front of us because it will directly impact revenue. I get amped up about this stuff, Jim. As you can tell, my hands are going around and I'm very passionate about these topics.
I'm the same way, which is, you know, to recap, like what you're saying, if you think about it, I've been saying this for decades in the industry. You're sitting on the largest data set in the planet, which is your conversations between you and your customers. Yes. Why are you not using that to build what you need? But some people actually go into a room and say, this is what I think the customer is going to ask. Here's my FAQs. You have the day to use it. That's a great one. So
yeah,
let me ask you this one. For our listeners, right? What are the biggest risks or pitfalls that like a leader should be aware of when they're implementing these technologies in their organizations?
First one is not doing it. Okay. That there are still a lot of people out there that are afraid of this, that they don't like, I'm going to wait and see. The time for waiting and figure the wait and see model, that's your past. It's gone. So forget about that. You need to start now. The next part is let's figure out where, you know, start from the perspective of the customer. You got to give yourself some swim lanes, some guardrails. You know, what are the guardrails that we're going to focus on? Because you can't boil the ocean. You got to start with something. So let's figure out what that something is and put guardrails in place. Once you get that dialed in, then you can start expanding the guardrails and start taking on more. So maybe it's like, hey, how can we leverage this in customer service? Or how can we leverage this as part of our selling process? Figure that out. Start somewhere there and get that done. I use this all the time when with my team. It's like, hey, we need an elephant. The only way we're going to do that is one bite at a time. We can't swallow it whole. We've got to think about this intentionally and be smart about it. Because you don't, I was just listening to a webinar yesterday, a recording of a webinar for a very, very large company, where their take on it was, hey, let's just turn Copilot on and we'll just say, hey, start playing with it and let us know what you guys see. That is one approach. And you can make some incremental gains with that, but you're not doing anything strategic when you use that model. And my advice is be strategic. What is going to impact your strategic goals? Start with that and pick your focus from there. And that way you're going to see the impact on the bottom line. You know, it's like, it's not touchy feely fuzzy type good stuff. It's focus. Try to identify something that's going to be impactful on the bottom line.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. You remember years ago, the computer manufacturing company that's in Texas, when they launched their Copilot, little opportunity, wasn't called Copilot back then, that helped. I remember I was training their models because you would ask it a question, and then after you answer the question, you had to either say thumbs up, thumbs down. I'm literally spending all my time training your model. Like this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I came to get help. Yeah. No, it wasn't helpful.
But it does
remind me that.
Thumbs up.
Yeah.
And you know, the scary thing is companies have launched into AI and exposed it to their customers with antiquated information that's out of date. And so if you're providing pricing information that's old and you're giving that to customer in chat, guess what? You're bound to that pricing. You know, so you want to make sure that, you know, take a look at your SharePoint site. If you're going to open Copilot into your SharePoint site, think about all the versions of spreadsheets and all those things you have in there that may be confidential, that may be out of date, you know, but it's like the network drives of old. It's I'm going to throw it in my drawer and I'm going to forget about it. I'll go to it when I need it, but your drawer is a mess. You've got so much crap in there. You've got to go through that stuff and start purging all the old stuff. You got to start classifying it. What's confidential? You know, making sure you've got all those controls in place. Again, building that solid foundation before you turn AI loose. And so it's a lot easier to do that if you're focused, again, on a very narrow, specific use case. The amount of stuff you have to look at is going to be a lot smaller. A lot of stuff you have to worry about is going to be a lot smaller than, hey, let's just open up AI across the business. That's a nightmare scenario.
No, you're right. And it's funny you say it because I have that. I have files that I should have thrown away 10 years ago, but I still have them, right? Yeah. And you don't think about that because people say, well, it should be out there. But you need that inspection process. Is it up to date? Is it and is it truthful, right? Because we talk about data has to be trust in the data, so it has to be accurate. Because you're right, you can't tell a customer, oh, sorry, that's old. We shouldn't have put that in there. I get that.
Yeah, you're locked in.
So,
I've heard horror stories. I've talked to people that they have clients that did that and exposed the spreadsheets with everyone's compensation in it, into AI.
My.
You know, think about the nightmare that's going to create for you. And it all gets back, the root cause of that is a lack of ownership, a lack of accountability, is we open up these sites and we're like, hey, here's these folders, you can start using them. But there's no ownership of once something goes in there, who actually owns that? Who's accountable for maintaining that? And if it's out of date, are you going in and deleting it? Or are you archiving it or doing something with it? That it for most businesses, that doesn't exist. And so now in this AI, the way I kind of described it, people, if you start to open this up and it's put a giant spotlight on these deficiencies that have been there for a long time, but it didn't impact us. It wasn't impacting the business because we weren't exposing it to anything. Well, now you are. So you better start taking a hard look at this stuff and taking action.
That's so true. So my last question before we let you talk a little bit about your how to get in touch with you, but I have one that's intrigued me for a long time. And I know you can answer this one. So a lot of people are telling me, I don't need a tool. I'm just going to plug my stuff into ChatGPT, Perplexity, blah, blah, blah. I think what they miss is the security concerns. So if you were going to teach somebody about just letting, to we just talked kind of about, just letting those models opened up with no security boundaries, that can't be good for a company.
No, it's insanity. It is. You absolutely cannot do that. For your models to work, you have to expose all your most confidential information, you know, that you're using to guide product development, pricing, customer relationships. You're opening your kimono to the world. And are you ready for that? Do you really want to do that? No. Security has to be your number one criteria. You know, back in the day, people would come to me and say, hey, you know, our CRM sucks. I wish we never got this one. And I'm like, why? And they're like, well, it can't integrate with anything. And they went through the selling process, like, it's got all these great features. It's got all the features we want, but they never asked the question, can I integrate it to anything? So now they're stuck with this data silo that is not helping the business. It's become a boat anchor. AI tools without the proper security model in place is the same thing. I would not go near that. I don't care what the feature set is. If it's not protecting my information, we can't use it. And, you know, that's what is a lot of people are forgetting about, that the models have to be built from the ground up to protect your information, that it's totally siloed and segregated from the rest of their model. that they're not training the whole model on your stuff and exposing that to the rest of the world. That is happening, and it is very scary.
Yeah, I talked to a guy. That's why I wanted to ask you about it, because I recently was with a friend of mine, and he gave me this story because, obviously, you know, I have AI stuff too. And he said to me, no. What I've done, I'm not going to call him out, but I plugged mine into ChatGPT. It's doing the same thing. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. And I'm glad you helped me answer that. So just to recap, it's been a great call. I like to keep my podcast down to something people are going to listen to.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
talked about today with bad data. If you have bad data, do not go automate the bad data. Get the data fixed first. We also talked about the pace of change. And Chris, I agree with you. I'm passionate about this stuff as well. I'm thinking 3-year window. I've been saying 3 to 5. I think you and I are aligned there. 3-year window. I mean, it's not going to be like the old days going to the cloud, like you said. I think strategy, number one, should be your criteria. What strategic problem am I trying to solve? The risk, we talked about this generally, but not doing anything. You know, I used to talk on stage decades ago, Chris, and I know what I used? Blockbuster. You know, Blockbuster yep. didn't want to change, right? Mm-hmm. And you're right. These other JCPenney, all these companies that did not want to change to the market got in trouble. And I believe the same thing. If you just sit there and do nothing, someone else is going to do it better. So now is the time.
And they're going to eat your lunch
Go ahead.
Because it's going to be easy for them to do it.
Yep. And I loved your insight, which a lot of people in your industry don't do. The one thing that I respect so much about you is you said the same thing that I tell people. Start small. You don't have to boil the ocean and solve all the problems. Because as an executive, we know we got 10,000. Let's pick three.
Yeah.
And let's start there. Because the beauty of this is you can expand to your point. Let's get one, boom, get it right, go to number two, et cetera. So I thought it was great today. Before I let you close this out, how do people get in touch with you if they want to if they want to use your services, number one, or just talk to you or pick your brain, follow you?
Yep. Email chris.smith@impellercrm.com. LinkedIn is another good resource. You can hit us up at our website, impellercrm.com. We also have a separate website around CRM Shouldn't Suck. So if you go to crmshouldn'tsuck.com, you can order a free copy of the book. My goal is to give away 2,000 copies of the book. We're well on our way to that goal because I want to help people. CRM shouldn't suck. It should be so much better than it is. And so there's some very practical guidance in the book to help you unsuck your CRM. So take advantage of it. Get a copy of the book. I want to help as many people as I can.
And we're going to make sure we put that link in the bottom of this podcast so that our listeners can click to it. So we'll have a call to action for you there. Chris, it was been great hooking up again. I appreciate your honesty and your passion. Like we both talk about, I think we're both passionate about what we do. Hopefully our listeners took a couple nuggets they can take to their leadership. And by all means, thank you once again. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jim.